Go ahead and open your Bibles up to Galatians chapter 5 again. We're getting closer to putting the finishing touches on the fruit salad, so to speak. We're working our way through and now just have a couple left to go. You know, when we give our lives to Christ, He begins to work in our life in such a way to bring wonderful, great things out of it, make us better than we could have been before. And He does so by including love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and today, what I want to talk about is faithfulness. Faithfulness is a fruit that seems sorely lacking in our society. You know, the result you see in some cases is devastating on families as children don't even know who their father's name are. Father's name is, I guess I should say. Children struggling through life because they didn't have an identity, because they had a biological father but no real father. Faithfulness. Churches struggling to keep their doors open. Christians struggling to maintain their relationship with the Lord because of this fruit we call faithfulness. As the fruit grows within us, we become more trustworthy, we become more focused, we become more intent on serving God and God alone. This morning I want to look at the foundation of this fruit of faithfulness. A key to understand is not only does God honor faithfulness, not only does He produce faithfulness in our life, but even more key than that is He is faithful. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "The Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Every time you pick up a Bible, remind yourself that God's Word says in Matthew 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away." What God is saying is, I'm faithful. If I tell you this, you can count on it. Don't ever think that My words will change. My promises are true today, and they'll be true forever. In the dictionary, if you were trying to define faithfulness, you might come up with a definition that sounds something like this: to follow through with a commitment regardless of the difficulty. Now, an easier definition might be faithfulness is love hanging on. Because when you think about it, all these fruits relate to love. Joy is love rejoicing. Patience is love enduring. Peace is love trusting. Kindness is love serving. Goodness is love extending. Gentleness is love touching. Self-control is love restraining. And today, faithfulness is love proving. Love saying, "I will not quit." Love, in spite of disappointments, discouragements, or disagreements, saying, "I will not quit." I think we were talking about that before service, weren't we, Clayton and Debbie? 22 years today, they've been married. And I said, "Hey, I'm going to chalk that one up in the win column." And Debbie goes, "Not yet." And then what did Clayton say? "We may kill one another, but we're going to make it. We're not going to quit." That's what faithfulness is. Faithfulness is not giving up. You know, in the same way, if someone's, you know, if a husband professed wife love for his wife, but goes out and has an affair, you might use words like liar. You might use words like cheater. But you would certainly say that he was unfaithful. Unfaithfulness negates that proclamation of love. They don't go together. In the same way, if someone says, "I love the Lord" or "I love my church," and then they're unfaithful, it's hard to believe that he or she really loves the Lord or their church, because love and faithfulness go together. Faithfulness and love go hand in hand. Therefore, when the Spirit of God produces faithfulness in our lives, it's based on a love for Jesus. It's love hanging on. You know, when most of us think about how we're doing spiritually, Someone comes up to us, preacher comes up to you and says, how you doing? How you doing spiritually? What tends to happen is we tend to say things that are surface level. Or we tend to think about things that are surface level. We think, am I reading my Bible? Am I tithing? Am I doing something for God? But I think it goes far beyond that. You know, in church it goes beyond that. It goes far beyond church attendance because that has nothing to do with a church's health. Crowds don't equal spirituality. So when we think about how we're doing spiritually, it's not a matter of what we're doing, so to speak. It's what's happening in us. Let me give you an example of that. When Paul sent Timothy to check on this new Thessalonian church that he had founded, he was worried about their spiritual growth. He was worried about what was going on with them. So he sent Timothy to check on them. And he didn't ask, is the church growing? He didn't ask if they had a building yet. He didn't ask if the offerings were good enough to pay for pay the bills. He didn't even ask them if they'd stopped cursing or drinking or swearing or sleeping around. He didn't ask them those kind of questions. Here's what he said. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, his primary concern is about the faith level of those new converts. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2, we sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage you in the faith. Then down in verse 5, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. Verse 6, but Timothy has now come to us from you and has brought news about your faith and love. In verse 10, night and day we pray earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. You see, how you're doing spiritually is a faith question. Is my faith growing? Am I trusting more? Am I hanging on tighter? Paul was churned up about one thing in this Thessalonian church. Yeah, you're new to the faith. Are you growing in it? Is the Spirit producing faithfulness in you? What Paul knew, what we sometimes forget, is when people break down in their behavior, when they backslide into sinful living, when they grow cold in their love for the Lord, their faith is what's broken down. That's the fruit. The root is the faith. Reading the Bible is the fruit. The root is your faith. How are you doing spiritually? Are you growing in your faith? You know, you ever sit around and just ask crazy questions to yourself? Say, I wonder if Jesus was ever amazed by anything. You know, he left heaven, came to earth. He'd seen it all, right? I mean, nothing on earth is going to amaze someone who's seen something in heaven, right? Because heaven would blow our minds. But in the four Gospels, as you read them, Jesus was never astounded by anything people accomplished, so to speak. He never looked at Peter and go, man, that guy is the greatest fisherman I've ever seen. He didn't look at Matthew and say, man, what a financial genius that guy is. I'm stunned. But he did look at people. When he told the Roman centurion, the centurion came to him and needed a servant healed, and he said, I'll go to your house with you. You remember what Jesus said to that Roman centurion? You know, he told him that, and the Roman centurion said, oh, don't worry about that. You just speak the word. And I know he'll be okay. And the scripture says Jesus was amazed at him. I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. His faith is what amazed Jesus. On the other hand, you remember when he went back to his hometown of Nazareth, and he couldn't do any miracles except lay hands on a few sick people. And it says he was amazed at their lack of faith. Faith is the trigger that releases divine power in your life. Faith is what gets God's attention. Our abundance of it or our lack of it is what caught Jesus' attention. It's what amazed him on earth. In Isaiah, you know, faith is a lot more than talk. In Isaiah, it says, these people come near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. But their hearts are far from me. You know what Isaiah was saying? Going through the motions doesn't equal spirituality. If you want to grow spiritually, grow in faith. God desires faithfulness from his people. This week I looked up, you know, when I knew I was preaching on faith, I looked up this old geyser. Most famous geyser in the United States. What's it called? Old Faithful. But you know, Old Faithful is not the biggest geyser. It's not the biggest geyser. It's not even the most powerful geyser. What catches our attention, what makes it famous, is its dependability. And I think that can be true for us spiritually as well. What the Lord is looking for in us is not the flashiest, the greatest, the best. What God is looking for in your life is dependability. Somebody has said the greatest ability is dependability. You may not feel like you're the most talented, the most educated, or the most creative, but if you're dependable, your talents are worth a lot. On the flip side, Proverbs 25:19, like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in time of trouble. You know, the wise man said, hey, unreliable people are like a bad toothache. They just nag on you. You can never relax. You always wonder in the back of your mind, will they come through? God looks at us, and he desires to develop this quality of faithfulness in our life. Someone he can count on. Someone others can count on. Here's some areas in our life that I believe God desires faithfulness. Number one is your promises. Proverbs 25:14 in the Message says, like billowing clouds that bring no rain is the person who talks big but never produces. You know, we understand that in Texas, especially about June, July, and August. When we see a big cloud form up over here and we're like, come on, come on. And then it moves towards us. I don't know. Is it true that it hits the lake and goes away? That's what everybody, you know, it's done that about 10,000 times in the last, I don't know. It seems like it. But that's the way the writer of Proverbs describes people who don't keep their promises. They look good. It sounds good. But you can't count on them. You know people like that? Single moms do. Orphans do. Many senior adults do. You know, the Scripture tells us if you tell someone something, follow through with it. Keep your word. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says it's better not to make a promise at all than to make one and not keep it. When we give our word, we need to stand by it. In my mind, one of the problems in our society today, we are such a legal society that everything's got to be in writing. What happened to people giving their word, and even if it turns out that it costs them, they keep their word? Nowadays, we just have a lot of lawsuits. The Bible tells us faithfulness keeps its word. The second area to develop faithfulness in is in your abilities. You know, God has given everybody something. He's given you some special talent, some special gift, some special ability. He hadn't made you like other people. He hadn't made me like you, or you like me, or you like the person sitting next to you. He's given you something that you can do that other people can't. He's made an investment in you. And I believe the scripture teaches he expects a return on that investment. The parable of the talents are a good example of that. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, some of you are very good cooks. Some of you are very good at hospitality. Some of you are prayer warriors. Some of you are teachers. Whatever it is that God has given you that makes you special, some ability, some gift. I mean, Sandra, you sow, don't you? Not everybody sows. We've all been given something. Take that ability and be faithful with it. Faithfulness does not depend on what I can't do or do not do. Faithfulness depends on what I do with what I have, I guess is the best way to say it. Faithfulness is doing with what I have. We can't all be good at everything. But let me tell you something. Not every one of us here today, every one of us here today can be faithful. So whatever it is, be faithful with it. When we're all faithful, then together we accomplish more. You know, the scripture speaks about that. You know, this theme for team. So together we accomplish more, you know, so to speak. Everyone has something to contribute. Not everybody can score every basket. Not everybody can get every rebound. Not everybody is the greatest defensive player, but when you put them all together, you have a team. Same thing in football, same thing in any sport, same thing in the band, whatever it is, same thing in the church. If we had a whole church full of teachers, we wouldn't have a very big heart for serving others. Same time, if we had a whole church full of servants, we wouldn't have near the quality of teaching. God brings us all together because every one of us have something to contribute, and when we all contribute, the church is stronger. Let me tell you, it talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All parts of the body affect the others. It takes many parts to make a single body. That's why the eyes can't say they don't need the hands. The hands can't say they don't need the feet. If one part of the body hurts, we hurt all over. If one part of the body is honored, the whole body will be honored. Use what you've got for the glory of God and for His church. Keep your promises. Use your abilities. And thirdly, be faithful with your time. This is something we all have the same amount of. You know, we don't all have the same abilities. We all have the same amount of time. 24 hours in every day. There's 7 days in every week. There's 168 hours in that week. Ephesians 5:15 tells us, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. There's three things we can do with our time. We can spend it. Can waste it, or we can invest it. And the best use of your time is to invest it in something that's going to outlast you. What is going to outlast you? Well, the kingdom work is going to outlast you. Two primary time wasters: regret and worry. Regret's always thinking in the past. Worry's always thinking in the future. And when you always think in the past or you always think in the future, you're losing the present. We waste time and energy allotted for today. We become what I call when and then thinkers. When I get the bills paid, then I'll be able to serve the Lord. When I do this, then I'll be able to do that. When we're thinking in the past or thinking in the present, or thinking in the future, I mean. When and then thinkers. You know, faithfulness, I'm going to give you some characteristics of it. Five or six things to close out this morning. Number one, faithfulness is believing when I don't see it. Believing when I don't see it. Noah built an ark first. then put his family and the animals on it, and it hadn't even started to rain yet. No one had ever seen a rainstorm. True faith doesn't see and then believe. True faith believes and then sees. You know what that tells me? We trust in God's promises. Secondly, faith is obeying when I don't understand it. God gave Abraham and Sarah a son. That was awesome. Isaac. And then he does the craziest thing. He tells them to sacrifice. I don't think there is a harder thing asked of any human being in the Bible than what God asked of Abraham. Now this precious son of yours that I gave you, I want you to give him back. You tell me Abraham had any clue how to understand that, and I'll tell you you're crazy. Humans can't understand that kind of, I don't understand that kind of thinking, even looking in. If Abraham was confused, he didn't show it. He was simply obedient. When God asks us to do something, just obey it. We don't have to understand it, just obey it. Obedience, obey. Our faith is obeying when I don't understand it. Thirdly, faith is giving when I don't have it. The widow of Zarephath, down to her last meal, she had to be hungry. Son was hungry. She didn't need to give away that last meal. But she did. Elijah asked her and she gave, and guess what? God poured out his blessing. He supplied. Faithfulness is giving when I don't have it and trusting in God to supply. Fourthly, faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. There are going to be times in your spiritual life when you don't feel like it. Let me tell you something. Let's take Moses, for example. Moses saw all those great miracles happen, left with a nation that had seen all those great miracles happen, get out of the middle of the desert, and all those people who saw those miracles now are just complaining and whining. Day after day, they are working on Moses. There are days, I guarantee you, Moses did not want to lead the people of Israel. Even after he found out he wasn't going into the promised land, he continued to lead. Faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. Finally, faith is thanking God before I receive it. Now, this might be one of the crazier stories in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, the people asked for help when dealing with the armies of the Moabites and Ammonites. And so God tells them, okay, I'll give you help. Let's form a choir. Put that choir out in front of the army as it marches into battle. As the choir marches into battle, they're singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." When they arrive at the side of the battle, when they arrive on the battlefield, all they see are the dead soldiers of the enemy, because God fought for them. Faith is thanking God before I receive it, trusting God to supply. Finally, the last thing, six, faithfulness is trusting even if I don't get it. This is the hardest of all. Believing God's still good and that he's still on the throne even when we pray and we pray and we don't get what we ask for. How's that faith? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, if you read the last part of it, reminds us there were those who died who never saw their prayers answered. Yes, their prayers were answered, but not when they saw it. All of them were remembered for one thing. Matter of fact, they are put in that chapter with all those people who saw the great miracles. And they were remembered for one thing. They were remembered for faith. I think it's like Hebrews chapter 11, 36 through 39. And they talk about how they were all persecuted, sawn in two, and they never saw the reward. faithfulness, trusting God, allowing the Spirit to produce in you love hanging on, love not quitting. You know, what do you want to be remembered for today? Think back down your family tree this morning. When I think back down my family tree, the people that I am most thankful for were people of faith. People who prayed for me when I needed prayer. People that I looked at their lives and said, you know, that's what a life's supposed to look like. That's who you remember. What do you want to be remembered for? Will you be remembered for being faithful? Will you be remembered for love that hung on? You didn't give up on God and you didn't give up on people. This morning, if you're here, the greatest love of all is the love of God for you. His love endures forever. He's faithful. This morning, if you're here and you want to be a part of the kingdom of God and you don't have a relationship with Him, that's where it starts. You can't be faithful on your own. It's the Spirit working in your life. That's what we're talking about here, the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you're here today and you have a relationship with the Lord, but you've strayed away. Your love has grown cold, or you know, those things that we say, well, how are you doing spiritually? And we think about, well, I'm not reading my Bible daily, or I'm not doing this, or I'm not doing that. It's not about that. That's the fruit. The root is your faith. Where's your faith? Where's your trust? Where's your confidence in God? This morning you may need to renew that, rededicate that. Say to the Lord, I'm going to trust in you no matter what, and hang on to that. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for loving us, producing fruit in us that we can't have on our own, helping us be stronger, better for your kingdom. Lord, if there's anyone here today who needs to make a decision to become part of your kingdom, to trust you with their life, to give you control, I pray today you'd speak to their hearts and they'd have the courage to step out and come forward and do just that. Or if there's others that just need to be reminded the need to trust in you, the need to hang on, the need to be confident in your abilities. Lord, teach us to be faithful. Grow that fruit in our life in such a way that when others see us, they see you and our confidence in you. Lord, as we sing, speak to our hearts. Ask this in Jesus' name. Our hymn of invitation this morning, number 411. Let's stand as we sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."